I preached up here. It'd been a long, pretty good while back. And I got to know Brother Jeff. Me and him helped in a revival down Zion in Trouser County. And that's the first time I'd met him. And I've always thought a lot of him. Then I was getting ready to get ordained, and I was working out at a lumber yard and home supply place out on 25 before we get in Carthage. He knew about it, and he stopped in and talked to me a little bit. And meant a whole lot to me. So I know y'all got a good pastor.
Amen.
And I've worked with Brother Marty and got to know to love him and Chris. Somebody mentioned him, and I come up here tonight and make yourself at home.
Amen.
I didn't have no doubt about that before I come.
Amen.
And I guess that's why I just look forward to it so much.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you, if you lost here tonight, you do what the Lord have you to do. If you need to come up here and seek him, you do that. Everybody here just do what the Lord would have you to do. I need your prayers. I want the Lord's will to be done. I don't want to say nothing except what he wants said. And I just want to please him tonight. And I'm just thankful for the opportunity to be here. And I pray the Lord will truly bless. But we need him. It's been said the condition that our land in, we in a terrible shape. Only hope for us is the Lord. I wish the whole world could see that. Things would be different. But I'm going to tell you, his old church is going to have to understand that.
Yep.
And that's going to be foremost upon our hearts and minds of anything else in the world. We're the only thing he's got in this world. And he give us everything we need.
Amen.
But it takes one thing. It takes all of us to do what he would have us to do. It takes us all. Most of my message tonight, it's going to come from Jeremiah, but I'm going to read a few verses over here in the beginning in the 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning with verse number 1. It says, "This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall become lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, thankful, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce despisers of those things that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God." All of us tonight that are saved, I'm going to tell you what we need to really be loving the Lord.
Amen.
And if you lost here tonight, I want you to understand something. He's the only hope you got is him. If you to get saved, it's the number one thing ought to be on your heart and mind. The devil will blind you with everything in the world to hinder you from getting saved. He'll want you to think about school. He wants you to think about your friends. He wants you to think about everything. But you better think about the Almighty God that's in heaven.
Amen.
That's in charge of it all. And understand, us that are saved, we better have them foremost upon our heart and mind.
Amen.
We better have the Lord's work foremost upon our heart and mind. And I'm going to tell you, nothing else really matters. Nothing else. Because Jesus come from heaven to took upon the form of a man to die on a cruel cross that all might have eternal life and be saved. He come for one purpose, that a lost and a dying world might be saved. And our message to the world is, he's the answer. He's the only hope. So we just shouldn't think too much of ourselves, because Jesus is the one. But I want to go over here to Jeremiah for a little bit. Over in the 6th chapter of Jeremiah. We know Jeremiah, the Lord chose him from his mother's womb to be a prophet to the children of Israel. They was rebellious people. They wanted to go about and do what they wanted. They wanted to serve false gods, and they was happy with it. But in verse number 11 of chapter number 6, it says, verse 10 I'll speak, start with, to whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach, and they have no delight in it. They wasn't interested in what the Lord had to say no more. They did not care. And that's why the Lord sent Jeremiah. He said, therefore I am full of the fury of the Lord. I am weary with withholding it, holding in. I will pour it out upon the children abroad and upon the assembly of the young men together. For even the husband and the wife shall be taken. The age with him that is full of days. And their houses should be turned unto others, with their fields and their wives together. For I will stretch out my hand upon the inhabitants of the land, saith the Lord. From the least of even of them to the greatest of every one is given to covetousness. And from the prophet even to the priest, every one that dealeth falsely. They have healed, also they have heard of the daughter of my people, slightly saying, peace, peace, where there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed. And it says here in this next part of this verse, it says, they could not even blush. They had come to the point that nothing bothered them anymore. I want y'all to understand something tonight. We live in a time that nothing bothers us no more. Why doesn't it not bother us no more? Because it's become so common to us, everything we see. Our little children lose their innocence so early now. They hear things at a little bitty age and see things at a little bitty age that they ought not be seeing and hearing. And you know why they see it? Because we've let it happen. Because we've stood by and let it happen. You know, we didn't say, well, we tried to do best we could. But I'm going to tell you, do you know that there's people before us wouldn't put up with what's going on today? They didn't have near as much what you and I got. But they's much better off. Because it troubled them when something was said or done that wasn't pleasing to God. You know why it bothered them? Because they believed that there was repercussions that were going to come from it. They believed that the God in heaven cut the water off. There wouldn't be no food. The children might be sick. They wasn't emergency room and ambulances everywhere. When things happen, it's trouble. They trusted the Lord. But like these people here, they had God where nothing troubled them. They didn't blush. He didn't bother them. Therefore, shall fall among them that fall. In that time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. And he said, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the way, and see, and ask for the old path. Amen. I'm going to tell you, there ain't nothing no better. But I'm going to tell you something else. And we still trying the best for us to walk in the old way and tell lost people how to get saved the old way, the true way, the old knee-bent way, that somewhere they're going to have to make an altar to the Lord and be saved. But you know something else, brothers and sisters? We need to stand for every bit of it. For well, let them know that there's a God in heaven and he's in charge. And if things keep going like he's going, destruction's coming. And we don't like to think about that, but it's coming. Right, yeah. Now, we can see it. If we'll be honest with ourselves, it's coming. It's coming. See, it asked for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein. and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. We ain't going to do it. That sound familiar to you today? I'm not interested in it no more. The world's got too much to offer me. I'm just interested in the world. God's people better be interested in the Lord's work and these children and lost men and women that conviction will set up in their heart and they'll be saved. That's the main thing. And I know that's why Hilltop Church is having this revival meeting for lost people. And if you're lost here tonight, I want you to understand something. God is real.
Amen.
Heaven's real.
Amen.
And hell is real.
Amen.
And destruction is going to come to this old world one day.
Amen.
You better believe it. It's coming. But I want to go over here into the Jeremiah chapter 2 for just a minute. Come down here and read a little bit here. It says in verse number 6, neither said they, where is the Lord that brought us up out of the land of Egypt? Led us through the wilderness, through the land of the desert and of the pits, through the land of drought and of the shadow of death, through a land that no man passed through and where no man dwelt. They didn't ask for that Lord no more. They didn't want him no more. They had it good, I guess you might say. They must have had everything they wanted. They were satisfied. We don't need the Lord that brought us out of bondage over there. We don't need him no more. I'm going to tell you, us saved here tonight, the same one that reached down and saved our soul, we needed him just as much in our lives right now as we did when we was lost.
Amen.
And walked right there with him. We need him that bad. We need him for our children and our grandchildren that they can see what we supposed to be to them. And see the old church doing like it always supposed to do, be a light to a lost and a dying world. But these people weren't interested. I brought you through into a plentiful country to eat their fruit and thereof, the goodness thereof. But when you entered, you defiled my land and made my heritage an abomination. The priest said not, where is the Lord? And they handled the law, knew me not. The pastors also transgressed against me. And the prophets prophesied by Baal and walked after things that do not profit. I'm going to tell you today, and me guilty as one, I sometimes walk after things that I ought not be doing. Think about it, I got to work here, do this, do that. There's a lot of things I could do without. And I need to have my face to the ground asking the Lord to have mercy on this lost and the dying world.
Amen.
And my children and my grandchildren, that they might do what the Lord having them do. Because when my little ones and y'all's little ones that ain't reached the age of accountability yet, that conviction will set up and they'll know what to do and seek the Lord to be saved. But we got to tell them. Wherefore I will plead with you, saith the Lord, and your children's children. Well, I plead. So he sent Jeremiah to plead with them.
Amen.
Plead with them.
Yep.
Don't do this. Turn back to the Lord. Do what I'd have you to do. Because there's coming there's going to be a payment for it. You see a payment in their land today?
Yeah.
Are we having trouble today? You reckon why that is? For pass over the isles of Chittim and see. And seeing the Kedar, consider diligently and see if there's such a thing. Hath a nation changed their gods? Israel changed their God. They didn't want the true and living God no more. They didn't want the one that brought them out of Egypt and done all those miraculous things. Bred the Red Sea there. Fed them with manna and quail. Brought water out of a rock. Let them have vineyards and lands that they didn't plant. Because he said it was theirs. But they had changed their God, their nations to other gods, which are no gods, but my people have changed their glory for that which does not profit. I'm going to tell you what's profitable tonight. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you, we ought to love a lost and a dying world. And I know we ain't him, but we ought to be in the mind of him. They be willing to do whatever it takes for the word to go forth. Amen. We need to do that. He said, be astonished, O ye heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid, and be very desolate, saith the Lord. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water. They have forsaken him, the fountain of living water. But it says here, they have hewed them out cisterns. His cistern, you know, that's something to hold water. They'd hewed them out cisterns. Broken cisterns that can hold no water. You know what this world's going to get us? Nothing. Thinking we got to have everything in the world and do everything in the world. And it won't hold no water. But what'll hold water? The Lord, when you get a drink from that living water, and that well that won't never go dry, and we keep going back, we won't never lose it, but you know, I'm thankful we can get refreshed from time to time. Is Israel a servant? Is he a homeborn slave? Is he spoiled? They was happy that he'd become a slave to how they wanted to live. I'm going to ask y'all a question. Have we come slaves to this way of life that we live today? Y'all realize it's all going to burn up? And everything we might accumulate, soon as we die, our loved ones going to fight over it. Or the government will get it. Or the nursing home will get it. Yep. What are we worried about? We ought to be worried about the Lord. Worried about what he thinks. Worried about what a lost and dying world needs is him. Yep. Trouble. Trouble. We might look at the news and things. Well, we hope things get better. It ain't according to what God's word says. It ain't going to get no better. The only hope for, and Brother Jeff said a really statement, and I agree with him. They could be a great revival. They could be. Back over there in the first few chapters of Acts when they had that great revival there. Pentecost. Many thousands saved there. But you know what? Everybody was in one mind and one accord, and they sold all that they had and gave to people that had need. They wasn't worried about themselves. They were worried about the Lord. We better be worried about the Lord. I want to go over here to bear with me a minute. Proverbs chapter 1. Verse number 3, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice and judgment, and equity. To give stability to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning. And a man of understanding shall obtain more wise counsel. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and the dark saying, fear the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, amen. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Yep. Now, I know us that are saved, we ain't supposed to fear him like we was when we was lost. We ought to have that godly reverence for him. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm fearful for these lost people. I'm fearful for where our nation is headed. I'm fearful because it seems like the convicting power of God is not like it used to be. Amen. You know, one of the saddest things that's ever been, I went into different places, revivals, just visiting and sitting and hear the preacher preach, most wonderful message ever. The lost will not move. The saved people won't testify. Don't know what it is. And I go on the way home thinking, I nearly wish I'd have stayed at home. Now, part of that might be my fault that I wouldn't, in the condition I might have been supposed to be in. But we need to come and get a condition and fear the Lord and want to do what He wants us to do.
Amen.
That's important. The devil wants you, every one of us, to sit down on him. He don't want the preacher to follow the Spirit of the Lord. He don't want the song leader to follow the Lord. He don't want nobody in the congregation to follow the Lord. If he can get a hold of you and keep you quiet and not praising him and giving him honor and glory, he's won. He's got you that night. But we better serve him. We better fear him. On over 24th verse, because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel. What I've said doesn't make any difference to them, the Lord is saying. They don't care. And would not of none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For they have hated knowledge and do not choose the fear of the Lord. It's important, brothers and sisters, that we listen to it. You little boys and girls, men, women, I don't know what age you are, if you're here and you're lost, I want you to understand something. He loves you and wants you to be saved. And I hope godly fear does set up in your soul, that you'll see that He's your only hope. He's the only way you can ever get that trouble out of there gone. You seek after Him till you find Him. That's the only way. And I'm going to tell you, us that are saved, boy, we need to be a-praying this time in 2020. It's done been said we having to do things different. Revivals are different. I thank the Lord that we still are trying. Because I'm going to tell you, devil, he wants every one of them to be shut. He say, well, I'm going to tell you, you just stay home. This virus is out there, and I ain't making no light of it. It's bad. There's been a lot of people died and a lot of people sick, and it's awful. I'm going to tell you that. But I'm going to tell you our problems go a lot deeper than this. But this one thing here is may hinder the cause, even if this passes. When this passes, we still in trouble. And the only hope is the Lord. If you're here tonight and you're unsaved, I want you to understand something. Jesus come for you. He died for you. He's in heaven beside the Father making intercession for you. And I pray you seek after Him before it's everlasting too late. Y'all bear with me. I've lost my spot. And we think time's just going to keep rolling on. But one of these days, it's going to quit. Chapter 24 of Matthew, verse number 37. says, but as in the days of Noah, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. You know what they were doing? They were living just like they were always living. But even though they may have seen or heard of this man building this ark, they disregarded it. They did not heed. Because we know Noah, his wife, his sons and their wives were the only ones that were spared. Everybody else perished. And we know when you go over and read in Genesis about all that, when they had prepared the ark and they went in and the Lord brought all the animals in and the Lord shut the door. Y'all know something? One of these days, he's going to shut the door of mercy. He's going to close it up. Do you know one of these days, there'll be the last revival meeting. There'll be the last sermon preached. Mom and daddy, husband and wife. One of these days, we'll pray the last prayer for our children or our loved ones or somebody we care about, our friend or neighbor. One of these days. And then you not until the flood came and took them all away, so also shall the coming of the Son of Man be. There shall be two in the field. One shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill. One shall be taken, the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour doth the Lord come. We don't know when he's coming. But we better be about the Lord's business. Send a friend, don't you know something? He's coming. One of these days, he's going to come with a shout, and time shall be no more. Over with. The Bible says it'd be a moment in a twinkling of an eye. And it'll be so fast, you won't have time to pray. You won't have time to get right. You won't have time to make preparation. If you lost tonight, you better consider your condition before it's everlasting too late. And you and I, tonight, is his people. Us don't be like people like Israel here, Israel was in Jeremiah's time. Us don't be satisfied. Us don't be content. Us don't be worried about the world. Let's be worried about what time we have to work for him. Amen. I'm going to tell you, I believe the Lord's pleased tonight with this crowd here. He is. I believe he is. It took effort here. Amen. Some sitting here in the crowd here outside. Some in their cars. Yeah. Why? But the effort meeting for a lost and a dying world. These lost people here that need to be saved. Amen. Because y'all know the truth of what I've read here tonight. It's all going to be over one of these days. And you better get ready. I'm thankful I'm ready. Amen. I'm thankful I got saved, little 9-year-old boy. The only end of a motor's bench down here at the Presbyterian Church in Pleasant Shade. I treated it awful when I got to be a teenager. And on up, when I got young and got married, I was the awfulest husband I ever was. Didn't carry my children to church. I saved and a member of the church. Knowed it. Every Sunday when I wasn't going to church, he'd remind me. Amen. You know where you need to be. Yep. I got into such a shape. I was at work. I left work early. I went home. We had a little boy about 3, a little newborn girl. I was curled up in the bed like a little baby. Tore all to pieces. I had heart trouble. So I went to the doctor and they put a heart monitor on me. Ain't nothing wrong with your heart. You all right? I didn't need me no ease, so I went and talked to my mom and daddy early, about 3 o'clock one morning, got them up out of bed. He said, I can't help you. My pastor lives out here toward Union Camp on Kelly Ridge, Brother Junior Dickerson. Him and his daddy was planting a garden. I left work early that day. But I'm going to go see him. Maybe he'd help me. He gave me the same answer. I can't help you. Yeah. We's building a house down where I live right now. There was a spot back there. It's a flower bed now. But I fell down on my face. I've been to the doctors. I've been to mom and daddy. I've been to my preacher. And I thought, surely, mom and daddy, the preacher could help me. How you gonna help me? How you pointing me to the one that I really know could help me? I got down on my knees. And I said, Lord, and I'd ask him. I'd been praying. I thought I'd been praying. He knew my heart. I wasn't praying. I fell on my knees and I said, Lord, you get this off of me and I'll do what you want me to do. Now I saved. Note I saved. You know what, Brother Jeff? That time it was from my heart. That quick. I was better. I knowed he took it off of me. You know what he required of me? Go back to church. Get my family in church. That time I didn't know she's even saved. She's raised up a primitive Baptist. We talked about it before, but I didn't know it. Come to find out later on, she got saved after we went to a revival meeting at Plunkett's Creek with me. And I didn't care because I thought she didn't know the Lord. I just wanted to go out with her on a date. But a woman testified, and I'm telling her testimony a little bit, so hope she's not offended, or y'all ain't neither. A woman testified and broke her heart. She got saved at home one night in her bed, and later on, after I got back in church, I found out about this. See how the Lord works? I had to, after I'd been there a little while, I had to get up and apologize. They didn't ask me to. And I said, I got to get up and apologize. So I bare-knuckled that wrench. And I give in. I said, Lord, I'm going to do what you want. And I asked them to forgive me. Amen. They didn't know all what I'd done since I ain't been there. But you know what they done? I like what you said, Brother Jeff. From that first time, even before I apologized, when I went back in that church house, they begin to love on me. And it made a difference. And he's blessed me ever since. He called me to preach, and I fought that for 2 years. Had him went through a spell with that. And I bargained with him again. And he let me know, if you don't do what I say, he's going to be worse. Somebody besides you that I deal with this next time. I say, if you let me, I'll do it. I told it. I'm going to tell you, I can't preach a lick. Not unless he helps me. I told him that when I don't ordain me, and it ain't changed a bit since. And if it ever does change from that, I need to shut it up and quit. But we'll do what he wants. He can do far above what we can even imagine. But what we just need to humble ourselves now is his people. Cry out to heaven for these lost people, these lost children. I'm going to tell you what, it breaks my heart. If time goes on, what they're going to have to endure. It does. The Lord's their only hope. He's the only hope. And I pray if you're here and lost tonight, you'll realize that he's the only hope and you'd rather be saved than anything else in the world. And you'd be ready to give up mama, daddy, friends, whatever it is, phone, status at school, whatever it is. Lay it all aside and call on him, repent of your sins, trust in him. And I'm going to tell you, if you'll believe in him with all your heart and come to him brokenhearted like he wants you to do, and turn it all over to him, I know one thing he'll do. He'll lift you up. Amen. He'll save your soul. If you're here tonight. But God bless you. I love you.
Amen.
Brother, I'm doing. If you're here lost, I know He shares is what this is for. You come.
Amen.
But Jeff, I love you.
Amen. God bless you. God bless you, preacher.